So, what, 3 weeks ago, we had Easter Sunday, or 2 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. Wow. Yeah, probably, right? Anyway, a while back here, we had Easter Sunday. But I want to tell you something today. I want to encourage you something today, and that's that Easter is not over. You know, a lot of people treat it like a single day. That's, you know, one of three church days that they do during the year, whatever it is. But traditionally, the church has always held it as a season, as something deeper than simply a day. Because resurrection is not an event that you celebrate and move on, right? Okay, resurrection, fine, good deal. Let's go on with our lives. No. It's a reality. It's something that happened and is real and true, and that we step into that reality and live our lives in that reality of resurrection. Think about it this way. If a team wins a championship, the game ends, they're champions. But their identity as champions does not end there, does it? It carries on. They don't stop being champions the next day. It changes them in some ways too, probably, right? It changes how they live, how they carry themselves. They walk through town, chest out a little bit more, standing a little straighter. We're champions. They train maybe a little harder now because we're champions. And they how they think about the future is a little different now too, isn't it? How they are looking forward to the next season or whatever it may be, it changes us. In that same way, resurrection of Jesus is not the finish line. It's not the end of the story. It's the very beginning of a new life in that resurrection context. And in John 10, we hear today, Jesus tells us what that kind of life should look like. Not just forgiven, not just saved, but led and known and protected and given life from a living shepherd. So first off, we want to see that and understand that you are known by the shepherd. Jesus says, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Notice where this begins. Not with what the sheep do, but with what the shepherd knows. He calls them by name. He knows them. Christianity does not begin with performance. It begins with being known. And that matters. It really, really matters because many people assume that the relationship with God is based on how well they're doing, on how consistent they've been living their life, how clean their life looks. But Jesus starts somewhere else. Jesus starts with recognition. In the ancient world, you know, with shepherds, they would often, several shepherds would come together in evenings and the flocks would all be together overnight in a shared enclosure. Multiple flocks all mixed together. And in the morning, the shepherd couldn't separate them visually. He would call. And in an amazing way, only his sheep would come to him. The shepherd would go off and their sheep would come to them and their sheep would go to them. That's because they knew their shepherd's voice. They'd been with their shepherd. They knew who their shepherd was. And what this tells us is that our identity is not based necessarily on proximity, but on recognition, on recognizing the voice of the shepherd. You see, because we can be near religious things, religious people, and still not recognize the voice of Christ. We may be in the enclosure, but not necessarily hearing the voice of the shepherd. And also, keep in mind, we can feel like we're far off. And you can still hear the shepherd calling your name. Resurrection means that Jesus is not distant. He's not silent. He's not just a memory, something that happened and is done. No. Resurrection tells us that Jesus is alive and he is still calling. He's calling you. He's calling me. He's calling the world. Now, if that's true for us, it raises a question. And that is, what voices are we actually listening to? Because not every voice that speaks into your life is leading you somewhere good, right? Not every voice leads to life. We heard Jesus say in John, a stranger they will not follow. And then he tells us that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's really strong language. And it reminds us that not all guidance is neutral. Not all influence is harmless. There are voices out there that promise life, but really they're quietly taking life, right? The voice of success that says your worth is what you produce. There's the voice of comfort that says that we should avoid anything that's difficult. The voice of fear tells us to stay where it's safe. The voice of our culture tells us that defying your own truth for your own self, that what's important is you and only you. And here's the danger, is that we can follow some of these voices, maybe even very sincerely, thinking that they're right, and still end up somewhere that's empty. We live a life, if I get this, if I accomplish this, if I come across the right person or the right job, if I get the right home, if I get the right car, then I'll be happy. Then my life will be complete. But that's like following a GPS that's off, that's giving you wrong directions. You may be confident and assume and committed to these directions, but they're completely off. Jesus tells us, well, Jesus does not tell us that all paths are equal, does he? He draws a sharp contrast in the paths that are available to us. Some voices lead to life, other voices take life. And the thing that exposes the difference is resurrection. Because when Jesus rises, he proves that life is not found in power or control or self-definition. Life is found in him. So, if not every voice leads to life, then the next question is, where does life begin then? Where does our life actually begin? And then Jesus continues with his metaphor, he changes it a little bit, and he lets us know that Jesus is not the guide, he's the gate. He's not a guru, he's not a guy who just says some good things and we can pick and choose and kind of get some good things from him. No, he says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. That's a different kind of claim. He doesn't say, I'll point you in the right direction. He says, I'm the way in. Me. There's not multiple gates. You know, you can't get in from over here, over there, you know. Pick the one that you find best and most comfortable with. No, he says, there's one gate and I am it. These, you know, shepherds in the ancient world, when they had these big enclosures, they had a single gate. And in fact, often the shepherd would then sleep in front of that gate so that nothing could leave without him knowing and no one could enter without him knowing. He was literally the gate for that enclosure. Nothing happened without him knowing about it. And see, that's the image Jesus uses here. That's the image that these people would see and understand. Salvation is not something that you climb into. It's something you enter into. We sometimes try to climb in, right? We try to work our way in. We try to do the right things. Look the right way. That's not how you get in. And it matters because so many people in our world, we see it all the time, try to come to God indirectly, right? Through their behavior, through their moral effort, through their spiritual curiosity. I'm a spiritual person. I'm just open to all good things, and hopefully I'll get there. But Jesus says that access to his life is not found around him or by him somewhere. It's found through him. And that's what the resurrection confirms. That the risen Christ is not one option among many. He is the door. No one else has been resurrected. He's the one that shows that he is the true way. And through that door only, there's both security and provision. He cares for us. We are his sheep, and he is our shepherd. You're not just let in and set about to take care of yourself. You're cared for. You're enclosed. You're enveloped. You're loved. But Jesus doesn't stop at just access. He tells us that what kind of a life exists if you go through that gate. And we see that Jesus tells us that resurrection life is abundant life. Right? That's what he said. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, here's where people often misunderstand what Jesus is trying to tell them. Okay? Abundant life does not mean an easy life. It does not necessarily even mean a comfortable life. It doesn't mean a problem-free life. And often that's what we associate with abundance. If I have abundance, then I'm going to be comfortable and safe and everything is going to be great. No, but what abundance means is a full life. It's the kind of life that we saw in Psalm 23, right? Green pastures, still waters, a restored soul. Not because circumstances are perfect, right? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even there, our lives can be abundant. Not because the circumstances are perfect, but because the shepherd is with you. You can have very, very little and have an amazingly abundant life. You can have everything and be empty. The difference is not what you have, it's who is leading you, who you are with. Yeah. Imagine it's something like this. You know, you can have two identical phones, right? One is brand new, it's fully charged, it's functioning, does everything you want to do. And you have the same exact phone, except it's not holding a charge. It's always going out. The buttons don't work. The screen is cracked. They're the same thing, but a different experience. You may think you have something because it's the same. You think it's the same, but it's not. That's the difference between life in Christ and life without Christ. Life with the shepherd and life without the shepherd. What resurrection means is that Jesus is not offering survival, right? He's not offering you be able to just squeak by and get through. He's offering fullness. Fullness of life. Not dependent on circumstances. Not dependent upon what you have. The money in your bank. Your health. Anything like that. That is not what you have to have fullness. And that fullness that we have in Christ is not meant to be had alone. That's what we saw in Acts chapter 2 today. We see that what this resurrection life looks like when it takes shape. We saw there in Acts chapter 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. All who believed were together. This is not accidental. This is the result of people living under the Spirit, living full of the Spirit and with the Shepherd. That's what they do. They gather. They share. They pray. They care for one another. Because a shepherd doesn't lead individuals. He forms a flock. And that really flies in the face of that very, very modern idea that faith is a private and a self-contained thing. It's not. Faith is us together. You know, I think through the years, some of the swings of theology and things, we make some mistakes. And I think one mistake that we kind of overcompensated for maybe, you know, 50, 60, 70 years ago, the Billy Graham sort of era, was that term, accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Now, he is, okay? I understand the thought behind it. I really do, right? There were some who would just treat faith as something they're already covered in. They walk in through the right door and sit in the right pew and sing the right songs and hang out with the right people, then you're covered, you're good. And there had to be a correction to that thought that your faith is something that you have to be responsible for. But what I think happened was it just swung too far. It became just an individual thing. That it's me and Jesus and I'm good and I don't need anybody else. And it's not the picture we have in the Scriptures. You can't follow a shepherd and remain disconnected from the flock. You're not going to have this flock and then there's this one lone sheep that's just over there hanging out with themselves. I don't want to be part of it. It's like taking a coal out of a fire. You take it out and set it aside. Quickly it burns out. But if that coal is in with the rest of the fire, it stays burning and provides the light and heat that's supposed to do. In that same way, resurrection life is sustained in community. We need each other to maintain the fire. We need each other. That's how God made us. Not perfect community, but committed community. That's what we're seeking here. And so that's where it all comes together, right? Easter declares that Jesus is alive. But John 10 asks us this question. Are you living like he is? Because I think it's possible to believe in the resurrection. Yep, it happened. And still live your life as you're unled, unprotected, and on your own. The image that Jesus gives us is pretty simple. A shepherd is calling. Do we hear that voice? Are the sheep listening? And that life is found in following. So the question really is not, is the shepherd present or not? The question is, are you paying attention? Are you sorting out and blocking out those other voices and hearing the one that is the shepherd's voice? We do that together. These words of Jesus call us to consider something honestly. Whose voices are you following right now? What voices are pulling at you? Is it the voice of success or ambition? Is it the voice of fear? Is it the voice of comfort? Are you trying to build your own way? Trying to get into the enclosure by something other than the gate? Are you living connected to his people or just trying to do it all by yourself? Resurrection tells us these things. You are not alone. That's one of the great lies that we face, that we're alone, that my shortcomings are unique to me and no one else has experienced this, that I would just be embarrassed if people really knew who I was and the things I thought and the things I did. You are not alone. You are not without direction. You are not without life. The shepherd is alive, and that makes all the difference in the world. And the shepherd is still always calling your name. Your name. You. You. Of the billions of sheep that might be out there, he calls you by your name. He wants you to come to him and come under his protection and his life, that abundant life, the full life, the real resurrection life in him. He's calling your name even right now. And if you have felt right now even, or have felt that you're all alone, or you're not quite there, or you've been trying hard to make yourself good enough, I would say listen to the voice of the shepherd. He doesn't say, clean yourself up and then come in. He just says, come. Come. Come to me, and I will give you abundant life. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you that you are a good shepherd, that Jesus has shown us the way. Help us not to be confused by the other voices that are pulling at us, voices that may seem good, but are quietly sapping the life away from us. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to come into you, through you and you alone. Help us to remember that we are not alone, but to seek and prioritize your people and being together with your people. Lord, may people see the life that is in you and hear your voice. We thank you, God, for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.